If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everyone. Victoria Hackett here again. There is a word I can't seem to stop thinking about lately, and it's legacy. I've been visiting an old friend, an old mentor of mine named Phil Solomon, and we've talked about our time together in Mass Audubon Habitat in Belmont, Massachusetts, creating the Habitat Intergenerational Program, which is still there, which has been her legacy, and talking about just outdoor classrooms. And it's a word that usually feels very far away, but something reserved for the end of a story, not necessarily the middle of one. But what if we've been misunderstanding it? What if legacy isn't something we leave behind later, but something we build right now in real time, in the smallest moments of how we teach, how we notice, and how we show up for children? Because when I think about it, the work we do as educators, and when I say educators, I'm also meaning leaders, parents, anybody who works with children and teaches. So as educators, especially as nature-based educators, I don't see legacy as something distant. I see it forming in puddles children return to, in questions that don't get rushed to pass, in moments of attention that quietly change how a child sees the world. And I want to explore that today. Not the big performance version of legacy, but the quiet one, the lived one, the one that grows outside in real spaces and real children over time. Today, I want to talk about that word, legacy. When I say the word legacy, what comes up for you? For many people, legacy feels like something really far away, like I've been talking about with my mentor and friend, Phil, who's going to be turning 90. Some of you think about it as the end of a career and something written in books or remembered in stories, something tied to achievement, recognition, or scale. It can feel really, really large and almost unreachable. But I've been really sitting with this word differently lately. And the shift for me has been this. Legacy is not only what is left behind, it is what is being shaped right now through the way we show up, the way we teach, and the way we influence the people in front of us. It's the way we show up daily, the way we wake up daily. How are we doing that? Especially as educators in a time like this, because teaching is one of those most quietly powerful forms of legacy there is. Most of what we do does not get measured in immediate outcomes. And oftentimes people don't even see what we're doing. We rarely see the full arc of impact. Kids graduate on, right? And maybe a few might come back and say you were a great teacher, but we don't often see the impact of what our teaching has done on the children that we're teaching until years later, right? So we don't always get to watch the long-term ripple of a conversation we had, a question we asked, or a moment we made space for. And yet, those moments accumulate. They don't disappear. They move forward through children. There's an energy, there's a wave energy that we're creating. So let me say it again in a simpler way. We're often shaping futures we will never fully see. And that changes how I think about everyday teaching. Because if legacy is happening now, then it is not abstract. It's in the small, repeated choices we make, the way we respond to curiosity, the way we slow down or don't, the way we notice or don't. I can't help but think about the children in the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom and how we've created this incredible community, this really tight-knit community. I feel like it's one of the best-kept secrets in our community. But, you know, the kids are here for when they're very young, and they're going to move on into their worlds. But my hope is that they'll remember how they felt here, that this was a very special time. So thinking about the way that we invite children into relationship with the world around them, that's what it's about. And this is where nature-based education becomes especially powerful, because we are the facilitators. And nature does something to learning that is hard to replicate indoors. I'm probably speaking to the choir, but we know that it slows down. It has a way of interrupting that urgency, being outdoors. It pulls that attention outward in a very different way. A child outside is not just receiving information. They are in relationship with something living. There's nothing better. Today, kids were rolling over logs. They were watering flowers. They were feeling the wind and the sun and the soil. They were digging in the soil. One little boy wanted to find a ladybug. They're feeling the weather, the movement, the change. And that relationship matters more than we sometimes realize, because children don't just learn facts about the natural world. They learn how to feel inside of it. They learn whether they belong in it. They learn whether it's something to ignore or something to care about. And those early experiences matter deeply. I had a grandmother ask me today, and she said, Is my granddaughter too young to be in this class? I said, absolutely not. The younger, the better. And, you know, within 15, 20 minutes of our nature class, the little one, she was probably the youngest one in the class that day, was all over the place exploring and wondering. And I just looked at the grandmother and I said, see, she's right at home. So a child who grows up noticing the living world is not the same as a child who grows up passing through it. One develops that familiarity. The other develops disconnection. And I think part of our role as educators, especially in outdoor and nature-based settings, is to gently shift that relationship. Makes me think of another little one that has come to the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom, and her mom is just like overjoyed because she's tried gymnastics and music class. Her little daughter has been crying, and so but yet her daughter's found a home outdoors in nature, and she says, we are here, we found you. So I'm overjoyed, because it's not the pressure, it's not through that instruction alone. It's not through repeated experience. What these children are feeling is that they are feeling a relationship with nature through invitation, through that curiosity, through attention. And we're giving that to them through playful learning experiences. Because legacy is not built in a single moment. I'm going to say that again. Legacy is not built in a single moment, and it's not necessarily acknowledged at the end of your life, right? It's built in patterns, and patterns are formed through repetition. So the repeated walk outside, the repeated question, what do you notice? The repeated invitation to slow down. The repeated return to the same place. I often hear stories about children asking, okay, when's the next time we get to go to Secret Gardens? They're waiting all week until they get to come again. So they're returning to the same place, the same outdoor classroom, and they remember the different things that were happening at the last class. And one little girl asked for, where's the scale? I was playing with the scale last week. I had put it away, so I brought it back out again. So it's fascinating to me to know that they are absorbing this information with nature. So over time, those patterns begin to shape how children see the world. Many of the children today were watering the tulips. Some were actually watering the tulips in the flower, and some of them, we were showing them that they really needed the water in their roots. So having these conversations, these experiences, the joy of bringing water, and eventually these children will understand and see how they see themselves in it. And I think that is the part we often underestimate. We think we are teaching children about nature, but often we are also teaching them something much, much deeper, how they relate to life itself, whether to rush through it or to notice it, whether to dominate it or belong to it, whether to overlook it or care for it. That is not a small thing. That is foundational. So when I think about legacy as a nature-based educator, I no longer think of it as something distant or abstract. I think of it as something very close, almost immediate. It is in the same way we open a door to the outdoors. It is in the way we respond when a child stops to notice something we did not plan for. It is the way we allow the space for curiosity to lead, even when it takes us off script, because those are the moments that often stay with children far longer than anything we intend to teach. And the truth is, we rarely know in real time which moments those will be. That's the music and the most beautiful thing about teaching outdoors, especially with children, is following their lead. You can put wonderful things out, but really, it was looking at bugs and finding worms, which is why attention matters so much, because attention is often where legacy begins. Not in the big design of a program, but in the small decision to stay with something just a little longer than planned. And that is where we are going to go next, because attention is not just a teaching strategy. It is a way of shaping how children come to understand the world. And once we begin to see that clearly, everything about how we teach outdoors starts to change. So this is where something important begins to emerge, because if legacy is being shaped in these everyday moments, in the way we respond, the way we slow down, and the way we notice, then the real question becomes, what are we actually teaching children to pay attention to, because attention is where everything begins. Noticing comes before caring. Caring comes before connection. And connection is what eventually becomes legacy. So if we want to understand what we are really building as nature-based educators, we have to start here with attention. So I, again, believe legacy begins with attention, not with perfection, not with elaborate materials, not with a beautiful designed outdoor classroom. And again, I was telling a parent today, I think she was worried that, you know, things were getting messy or something. And I said, there's nothing precious here. The outdoor classroom, there's nothing. We create it for children. Therefore, there's nothing precious. And so she was so relieved. The face was so a face of relief that this was a space for children. And so in this space, it's with attention, a nature-based educator teaches children how to pay attention. And this is deeper than it sounds. Attention is not just looking. It's not just seeing. It is slowing down long enough for something to matter. So today, a child rolled over a log, and before we knew it, he found worms and all sorts of roly-polies and slugs and whatnot. And before we knew it, the entire class had joined him in searching for everything under this log. He was so excited. He was just ecstatic, and got something to put them in and got down, literally down on his belly, taking it all in. And there were children that were observing him and following him and became just as curious and excited as he was. So it is the difference between, this type of attention is the difference between walking past a tree and noticing the texture of its bark, the movements of its leaves, and the life it supports. And in many ways, attention is a skill that is being lost in our culture. Children are growing up in environments that are fast, loud, and overstimulating. So when we invite children into nature, we are not just changing the setting, we are changing the pace. And that shift in pace creates space for something incredibly powerful to happen. I saw this so clearly in my Secret Gardens outdoor classroom. There was a small area, not particularly impressive at first glance, just a patch of space with soil, a few plants, and a place where water could collect after it rained. One day, a child crouched down beside the puddle. At first, it looked like a passing moment, but then they stayed. They noticed the surface, the way it moved when they touched it, the reflection of the sky. And then they called another child over. Look at this. Soon, two became three. And what began as a puddle became a place. So the same concept of looking under the log. So over the next several days, the children kept returning to it. They checked in the morning. They visited it later in the day. They noticed when it began to dry, and they asked where the water went. They started to compare it to other spots in the garden. And here's what stood out to me. No one told them to study that puddle. Same is true when they rolled over the log. No one told them to study bugs. There's no lesson plan attached to it, no object written down. What there was time. Time to stay, time to return, time to notice. And in that time, their attention deepened. Questions began to form. Why does the water disappear? Why is it still wet? Here, but not there. What happens after it rains again? This is where the learning begins. Not from instruction first, but from attention. And here is where your role becomes incredibly important, because attention is often guided when you kneel beside a child and say, "What do you notice? What do you think is happening? What changed since yesterday?" You are doing more than asking questions. You are shaping how the children learn to engage with the world. You are telling them, this is worth your time. This is worth your curiosity. This is worth staying with. And over time, something begins to shift. Children start to arrive outdoors differently. This is my favorite part. When they settle into the space and they feel like they own it, it is their space, that transformation is incredible. So yes, in the Secret Garden space, I began to notice it. Children weren't just running through anymore. They were moving with intention. They went back to places they remembered. They checked on things. They anticipated change. They remembered where the puddle had been. They noticed when it returned after the rain. They connected that one small space to a bigger pattern. And then after a few weeks later, something happened that stayed with me. A child walked over to that same spot. Then there was no puddle at all. The ground was dry. But they paused, looked closely, and said, "This is where the water comes back." Nothing was there in that moment. But in their mind, the place was still alive with possibility. They weren't just seeing what was. They were understanding what could be based on what they had observed before. That's different. That's deeper. That's not just observation. That's relationship. And relationship is the root of legacy. Oh, I love that. So the relationship is the root of legacy. And we just talked a little bit how to get to that relationship. Because we do not protect what we do not know, and we do not care deeply about what we have never truly noticed. So when we talk about building a legacy as a nature-based educator, it's worth asking, are we creating space for attention? Or are we unintentionally rushing past it? It can be tempting to fill outdoor time with activities, plans, or outcomes, but sometimes the most meaningful thing we can offer is time. Time to linger, time to return to the same place, time to notice subtle changes. And here is something important. Attention builds identity. When children repeatedly experience themselves as observers, explorers, and participants in the natural world, they begin to internalize that identity. I am someone who notices. I am someone who belongs here. I am someone who understands this place. That identity can stay with them long after they leave your classroom, long after they forget specific lessons. So maybe one question is this: what am I teaching children to notice? Because what they notice, they may eventually value and what they value, they may eventually protect. And if we zoom out even further, that small puddle in the garden, it wasn't just water. It was a beginning of awareness, a beginning of connection, a beginning of understanding that this place changes and that they are part of that change. And that is how legacy quietly takes root. Oh, I just love that word. I love legacy taking root. Because yes, it's not at the end of our lives that, oh, we're going to be leaving this legacy. It's not in the big visible moments. It's in these small repeated ones that we're doing every single day. It's a child who stops, a child who notices, and a child who returns. Because when a child learns to truly pay attention to the natural world, they don't just learn about it, they begin to carry it with them. And that, my friend, more than anything else, is where your legacy lives. I would love to learn more about your reflections, about your legacy, how legacy is landing in your outdoor classroom, and what you're noticing and what your children are noticing. Let us know. We'll talk soon. Bye. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more about enrolling in the certification program. Don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.